Blog Talk Radio.
Daylight come and me want go
home. I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy.
Come on, act crazy.
Cause I'm here live.
Candid Frank Live.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
Candid Frank Live. Candid Frank Live. Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night.
It's Monday.
We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. All right, to the top. Give me the pick.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Frank Stanishi, and I'm the host of Candid Frank Live, the CFL show. Well, it is going to be an interesting conversation today because we are going to discuss. I want to expand on the conversation about AC Anthony Calvillo. Some kiss the feet that walk on our ground. Others want to burn fire to those feet. There seems to be a total... Love him or hate him, gosh darn it. No, I guess that's too strong. But it does run the gamut. By defining Anthony Calvillo, known by the two letters AC to most, suggests that this guy is, you know, the best quarterback ever to play in the CFL, by some. Others don't feel so strongly about his aptitude. Some, in fact, feel that he is vastly overrated and easy to dislike. Wow. You know, I've been reading Facebook, and you know, I'm of the opinion. I'm allowed to opine here, since it's my program with the assistance of many loyal friends and partners on this program. I'm of the opinion that Anthony Calvillo is one of the better quarterbacks that has been in the CFL. And I wouldn't consider it insulting to him if I would have put him in the top 25 of all time. I say that because the CFL has had some very outstanding quarterbacks that did not only show how wonderful they were at the position of quarterback here in the Canadian Football League, but also they showed that talent that seemed overpowering in the CFL was also overpowering in the NFL. You be quiet. Listen, you. I'm trying to do a show here. What do you mean? I'm trying to do a show. What? Tell me what you want. I want to know what you want. I don't understand. I don't speak cat. Anyway, yeah, that's my cat. It seems every time I'm ready to do the show, she wants to take part. Now, you know, if she was a dog, I could say the subject of AC would be, what would it be to the dog? And the dog would go, rough. So we can't do that with a cat. What do we do with a cat? Not much. They leave us alone, we leave them alone, unless you've got something in a cupboard that they want. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that cat lover part of my program. Yes, we love our cat. Anyway, so there is this feeling that AC is I said be quiet. All right. She's very distracting. And you know, even in regular life, she's very distracting. So, you know, this guy was a great quarterback. No question. Great. And I was saying, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted by the feline at my feet. I didn't say come back. What do you mean? Well, don't give me... Yeah, yourself. You want your treats, don't you? Don't look at me like that, because I hate when you look at me with those big eyes. All right, I'll give you treats. Oh, gosh. So anyway, while I give the cat its treats, it's kind of nagging me for its treats, so we'll give it its treats. Here, you can hear them go. See, they hit the ground. There they go. All right? Now eat them and be quiet and leave me alone. I'm trying to do a program here. I heard a rumor that there's 700,000 subscribers to this channel. And this is the way we behave? This isn't professional? Boy. Okay. So, yeah, so he's a great quarterback, and I think he truly does deserve all the accolades that are coming his way. But I don't think it's an insult if I put him in the top 25 of all time. In fact, that would be, I think, a very big compliment. And I'm not going to sit here and list all the quarterbacks that have played in the Canadian Football League. I'll leave it to you, the new fans of the CFL. And by new, I mean less than 10 years. You know, there are people out there that have written books who listen to this program from time to time who have actually listed the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And truthfully, and I say this without any backhanded compliment, for AC to be top 25, that would be a deep honor, because I think all of us could mention 25 quarterbacks that we think in their time were incredible, and we mustn't forget them as well. You know, just because he's the latest guy in there, this extra, you're the greatest of all time, until he goes and then the next greatest of all time will show up, or top 10 or whatever. But anyway, as I said, I consider him a top 25. We'll hear what the boys think when they come in, whoever's available to discuss, and if you do want to discuss it. You can link up with us on Skype. You can text me, Candid Frank Live, on Facebook, and I will even call you if you like. Or you can call the number here, which is 714-242-5250. So that'll be one topic of the day. And then comes the other topic of the day, which draws the ire of many. And for different reasons. Corey Chamblin is up for Coach of the Year, along with a guy named Kent Austin. And John Huffnagel, again this year, as he was last year, is up for the award. I think we can immediately, without hesitation, I think we could all agree, I think maybe even the Calgary fans, because there might be a little bitterness there because they didn't make it to the Grey Cup, we think we can eliminate John Huffnagel. So let's consider this a two-horse race. In my opinion, that's what it is right now. It's a two-horse race, no pun intended, on the Calgary thing. Yeah. And I would have to give the nod to, personally myself, I would give the nod to, if I was asked to vote, I would vote for Kent Austin. But I would do it also bearing in mind, as I said today on Facebook, when the subject came up and Christopher Jones and company were throwing their valid points out there, typing them in. I have to say, though, it is really 1A, 1B. When you look at what Kent Austin did, he took a team which, you know, questions were raised before the season started. Would this team make the playoffs? Well, we all knew Winnipeg was in the division at this time. So, you know, there was a good chance they were going to make the playoffs. So they were going to make the Eastern Final. The question was, would they make it out of the Eastern Final? Well, they did, in fact, do that. And they did, in fact, win the Eastern Final against the Toronto Argonauts, having made the playoffs, which was, you know, here or there at the beginning of the season. And congratulations to them. Considering what Kent Austin did and where he took the team from where they began to where they ended up is quite a distance and quite an accomplishment. But I begged to suggest something, and I said I would give Ken Austin the nod. But I would also like to remind people that it is very easy to take a team that's supposed to win and consider them winning as not much of an accomplishment. It's very easy to say that. I suggest that there is a history littered with teams that should have won. So Corey Chamblin did what sometimes is not as easy as we would like to think. In fact, I would suggest that it is difficult to do. To win when you're supposed to win, that's a challenge that has no reward. And the reason I say it has no reward is because there sits Corey Chamblin, having led his team through some hard times in the season, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, in case anybody didn't notice. Hit the rocks there for a little while, and he took their team, and he lifted them up, and he made sure they were ready for the playoffs, and they were. And I don't think anybody can question that they were ready for the Grey Cup game. Yeah, we're going to hear about how, you know, the Saskatchewan fans, you know, they were all Saskatchewan fans. Hamilton, you know, was up against it. You know, all that is true. All that is true. But one thing that has to remain said, and I need to say it, is the best team won with the best fans behind them. And they deserve every credit they get. But unfortunately, what that does is it takes a little bit of the luster off the job that Corey Chamblin did. So, like I said, a very, 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 very close second to Kent Austin, because it's easier to take the guy who brought the team from nowhere to the same game, the Grey Cup game. Now, they did not win, but that's not that relevant, really, in my opinion. Okay, so there's two subjects we can talk about, and if you would like to share comments, you can do it. You can do it, you know, on Facebook, and I'll be more than glad to add those comments to the show. We'll start by telling you that Bruce John Inch is listening, and let me see. Oh, yeah, he's asking me to wear the Ticats jersey with pride because Jesse Lumsden, the jersey worn that I wear, Jesse's number and jersey, made the four-man Olympic bobsled team today. And he'd like to wish him all the best at the Olympics. And, you know, so both him and his dad, as I know, I have an interview here that I could play at some point with his dad, who's a coach in CIS. Now, he also wants people to know that Warren Moon is number one when it comes, I assume, to quarterbacks, which is a fair assertment, I think. I think that's a pretty good assessment there, that Joe Theismann, Warren Moon, Doug Flutie. See, now, I didn't want to do that, because once you start doing that, you start realizing how far down the line of best quarterbacks AC is going to drop. There are just too many quarterbacks to sit there and suggest that AC, Anthony Calvillo, you know, is one of the best quarterbacks to play in the CFL. But like I said, if he made top 25, if I were him, I'd be happy, considering who was here before him. That's my opinion. All right, who do we have on the line?
CJ.
Christopher, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Heh, not bad. You know, I watch the stuff that goes on your page that I think is one of the best pages, if not the best, when it comes to the CFL. A very tight race between the boat logo page, because I want to live past today, and your page that you guys have. And I find your other page with all the other different leagues also very interesting to follow. You know, there are a lot of great pages on Facebook for people who love the game of the Canadian Football League.
Yes, there is. And I got the new one for the BC Lions, too.
Yeah, you got the Lions Den as well.
Throw that out there.
Yeah,
so
please.
So if anybody wants into the Lions Den, please just send me a private message and I'll link you in. So if anybody knows
there,
that's a Lions fan.
All right. Well, you know, and I tell you what. That I want to say this. I am in the Lions Den, and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy being in that room because I always feel at home. And Christopher, you're one of the kindest, most considerate people I've ever met. You don't have a bad thing. Okay, I got to stop now because I can't say anymore. I can't go any further, but I tried.
I know a few Ryder fans that would argue with you.
I tried. So how about those first two topics, starting with I know how you feel about AC, but let's, you know, for the sake of the program, let's begin. What do you think of AC in the list of greatest quarterbacks of all time in the CFL? I'm saying that if he was in the top 25, that wouldn't be an insult. What do you think?
I don't think so either. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm not saying that I dislike him. I'm not saying he's pathetic or anything like that. I just don't think he is the greatest quarterback that we have ever seen.
I don't think he's a top 10.
Number,
how about a top 10? How about a top 10?
No. No.
I mean, either. I go top 25.
His numbers say that he is the number one person out there because of the longevity in the league. But I do not believe that he is the greatest quarterback around, and I don't believe Damon Allen is number two. So, you know, I don't buy that for a heartbeat. And you know my reasons why, and both of them, to me, are a mess. I would take Buck Pierce over in either one of those guys. The man has heart.
Okay, I get that. But let's talk about on the basis of accomplishment, because and when I say accomplishment, I don't mean accomplishment as in sheer numbers, only numbers. I think there are a lot of variables that aren't statistically obvious, you know, when it comes to a player, you know, in the CFL as a quarterback. You know, it takes also what kind of leadership skill they have, what contribution they made to make their team great if they were on a great team, how hard it was for them to be great because their team wasn't great. All these different variables make a quarterback, because you can't sit there and say that every quarterback has had the exact same opportunity to excel as the next quarterback, right?
Without question, and that's exactly where I believe Anthony Calvillo fails, because I don't think he's a leader. I don't think that he is out there rah-rahing his team. He sits on the bench. He doesn't even watch the game. He doesn't want anybody near him. Somebody talks to him, he turns around and walks away. He's a total loner when he's playing. And that's okay. He's in his crew.
That's what he is supposed to do as a quarterback.
Isn't
that just intensity that you're attributing to teammate-ish character?
No, because you do not withdraw. You have to be on there. You have to at least cheer on your defense, because they are the ones that make you look good. Let's face it, a defense wins championships.
Bottom line. Yeah,
so if you're not supporting your defense, you're going to be on the field. You're not going to be on the field. Okay?
And you
want to be on the field to make plays, so you have to cheer on, you have to root, you have to support your defense. The defense comes off, you should be going over there saying, hey, guys, way to go, all the way, awesome, awesome. Anthony Calvillo will never do that. And I don't want to disrespect the man. He has gone through hell in his personal life, and I respect him immensely as a human being. I think that he's a wonderful man off the field, a good father figure, a good husband, a good community spirit. All of those things. He's a wonderful man. Don't ever get me wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about Anthony Calvillo, the man. I'm talking about Anthony Calvillo, the quarterback. And I don't believe that Anthony Calvillo, the quarterback, is up there in legends. He is because of his sheer numbers and the fact that he was in the league for 20 years. And you know, longevity gives you points, just like Louis Pisaglia, right?
Yeah,
just like
absolutely.
Paul McCallum, right? If you can last that long, then you're gonna score all the goals, right? I mean, that's plain and simple. You have to be in the league that long to be able to do something like that. And if you don't make those years, then you're never gonna pull up the things. And that's why we're never gonna see the greatness of Buck Pierce, because he got hurt all the time. Okay, his numbers could have been just as good and or better, or Dave Dickinson, or Matt Dunnigan, or personally, I think all of those players that I just named had heart in the QB position, where they went the extra mile to make that yard, to make that play, to make that pass, to take the team to the next level. they
but I,
went that
I
extra
thought,
mile.
I thought, but I really thought that AC did that kind of stuff at times. You know, my recollection, I seem to think that he did take risks now and then. And I know you feel that he did basically ground the ball more often than he should have, because he didn't want to take a hit and all that kind of stuff. But I thought he did some stuff. Let me mention a couple of things that people are saying on Facebook. Joe Toms thinks AC is great, but not the greatest. Would rate Doug Flutie, Ron Lancaster, and Russ Jackson higher. And I happen to think for those three players, you can multiply that times seven, and there are at least seven quarterbacks, maybe 14 quarterbacks, that could fit in well with those three quarterbacks. Do you know what I mean? And so you can drop AC down a bit. And William Corliss says, I agree with that. I think if they were 5-3 instead of 3-5 in Grey Cups, he could be number one. You know, so he has had his failures when having opportunities. It's much like when history looks at, you know, a quarterback and how they do. We watched the Grey Cup this year, and if things had been reversed, Darian Durant would just be a blip on the quarterback history mark of the CFL if he doesn't win the Grey Cup, right?
He wouldn't have been playing next year.
That again is another sidebar that we could get into, but you get my point, right? I mean, we agree with that. Quarterbacks get opportunities in championship games, no matter how good their teams are going in, to make a difference and you know, shine their star right then and there, buff it up really good. You know, the same thing's true right now in the NFL. We've got a quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, whose luster for this year, much like the 14-0, what was it, 14-0 or 18-0 New England Patriots, and then they lost the Super Bowl. You know, Manning's got to have a good playoff game, a good Super Bowl to shine his star a little brightly. This is an opportunity for him, and quarterbacks get these opportunities, and the great ones win when it matters. Doug Flutie did it. You know, these guys all do it when it really, really matters. AC, you know, 50-50. I'd say, you know, he had his moments and then he didn't, you know.
I am not trying to take anything away from him as in his quarterback thing. I just
no, I understand your personal detachment from him.
He's the greatest quarterback. You know, too many people are going out there saying he is the greatest quarterback ever, awesome, wonderful, everything else, and I just disagree. Is he going to make the Hall of Fame? Damn straight he is, and he should be.
And he should. And he should be a Hall of Fame.
And he should be. I'm not taking that away from him. I'm just saying he's not the best.
Well, even if you say he's top 25 quarterbacks of all time, there's at least, gosh, there must be at least 100 quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. No, there's a lot of busts there. I don't know if there's 100 quarterbacks, but... You know, being the position that it is, it does draw a lot of attention and also adulation, right? When the team does well, the quarterback's the guy that's always delivering, whether he delivered the majority, you know, whether his passes were the best or the receivers were better to make him look good.
I mean, that's it. I mean, your receivers have to make you look good. And he had one of the best slot backs in the league ever with Ben Cahoon.
He sure did. Ben Cahoon is one of the best. You know, and we all know by watching games,
humble.
It doesn't matter. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. By watching games, we all can see, I think if anyone pays attention, you can see that there are catches that guys make that really look impossible. Well, that's because the throw wasn't that perfect, some would say. And others would say that quarterback put it in the right spot because he knew that guy has the talent to do something like that. So, you know. This past Grey Cup we had some great catches. Yes, we did. I think we had better runs than we did catches this year. I mean, two of the touchdowns, the old guy was in the end zone by himself, you know, so that doesn't fit the great throw, great catch category, right? I mean, great play,
no.
Still a great play, but yeah, you know, so, okay, listen, we're going to take a short break and when we come back, we're going to talk about coaches and which one we think at this point is or was the best this past year.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
You know, hopefully there's Ashman on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch?
Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL, we play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
You know, they give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know. That would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
You know?
It's a whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little.
CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
All right, so it's the little something I pulled off YouTube, and I happen to think I love the CFL, and I like the way I ended that one with the girls that really appreciate the boys in the tight pants. Yeah, that's what they do. All right, the guys that don't dress so pretty are up for an award, and you heard what I had to say about it earlier, and now that I've got Christopher Jones here, and I'm surprised, where's everybody else? What is it, lazing out here? Where are you guys? Come on. But anyway.
I got a text from Mike. He'll be on the show as soon as he picks up his load.
And he's a truck driver, folks, so I just want you to understand that.
He's
a legal truck driver. He's a legal truck driver. Let's talk about the coaches now. I've given my opinion. I'll give a short version of what I said. Basically, what I said was we can drop Huffnagel out of the equation, okay, as far as I'm concerned. I drop him out. And then the other two are kind of nip and tuck. I say that Ken Austin did a lot this year, made a lot of progress, helped make, you know, Hamilton what it was, and that is a Grey Cup challenger. And he did it in short order in a year, which is pretty good, I think. The other guy, Corey Chamblin, had a team that's supposed to win, and because they're supposed to win, when they do win, there really isn't much credit to go around except for contract time next year for the players. That's the way I see it. But I think it's quite an accomplishment to win even when you're supposed to win, because I've seen it historically a lot of teams that had the horses didn't win for whatever reason. But anyway, that's how I see it. How do you see it, Christopher?
Well, I know I'm going to get yelled at from Bruce. He sent me nasty messages already. Sorry, buddy. I don't think that Hamilton would have won if any of the top three Western teams made it to the Grey Cup. So I don't think that that was any major feat by Chamblin. I think that if Calgary had got to the Grey Cup, they would have won the Cup. If BC had got to the Grey Cup, they would have won the Cup. Hamilton just wasn't there yet. They will be next year. I have no doubt in my mind that they will be. They'll be a true awesome contender. But Kent Austin, I ultimate admiration for this man, for what he did in Regina, for what he's done in Hamilton now. I mean, he took a 6-12 team last year with no major changes, young players. He did it without home field. He did it without his game-changer star running back that he had last year, Chris Williams. And he did it with Henry Burris, of all quarterbacks, and he went to the Grey Cup, and he turned this team around, and he did what he's supposed to do, and he coached. And that's why he is a finalist for this award, because he is one of the best coaches in this league right now, without question, if not the best coach in this league. This year, next year, and every year. Whether he gets the award every year is another story. I have ultimate admiration for Ken Dawson. Now, Corey Chamblin, yeah, he brought his team together. They were expected to win. They did this. They barely got past BC. What happened in Calgary, I have no response for. But, yeah, they were supposed to beat Hamilton, and there's no way in hell that they weren't going to beat Hamilton in their own arena with 40,000 screaming green memes. he wouldn't have got out of the stadium if he didn't win.
Well, he would have had to have driven as quickly as possible to get out of Saskatchewan if they had lost. That was a pretty for sure lock victory. But again, you know, he did it. He accomplished it, and I think that deserves some credit. And yes, Bruce John Inch is saying he's very upset with the Buck Pierce reference. You know, because he can't even stay healthy. And you know,
mean that Buck Pierce doesn't have talent.
No. It doesn't mean that at all. But we have to. But what we can't do, Chris, and this is the part that makes it hard when you have these situations where you pick players who are the best. We can't presume that somebody would have done better if something else had happened. Because what we have to do is we always got to keep both feet planted, like a receiver, inbounds. You know, before we make that catch. Or that comment, we got to make sure both our feet are in bounds. And to discuss Buck Pierce as a great quarterback,
Frank,
you've got one foot out of bounds or one foot on the line.
I got to stop you for a second.
Go ahead. So
we're talking about the CFL here. 1 foot in bounds, buddy. This is not NFL. We don't have to have 2 feet in.
Well, okay. Well, my analogy then is an NFL. Yeah. Okay. All right. 1 foot. You're right. But I guess you know what I'm trying to say. So at the end of the day, you know, we can't presume what a guy might be able to do, what he should have done. At some point, we have to accept the fact that a player's, you know, history is his history. You know, his piece of work. So, you know,
then you didn't hear what I said. Because I didn't say that Buck Pierce was a better quarterback.
No. I wasn't speaking. I liked him better. I wasn't speaking to you specifically. I'm saying this for the benefit of the listeners, that you know we can presume, like we could have a full 2 hours of discussion on players that should have had better careers in the CFL as quarterbacks.
Yeah, I should have.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, you had one in BC. I want to call him Prince. Anyway.
BC Printers.
Yeah, Printers. Thank you. Great quarterback.
He should have been awesome.
And he's one of those guys that all he needed to do was get it done because, you know, he had the ink in the pen. He just couldn't write. You know, that's the sad part of the whole thing. Again, though.
He had to get out of his own way.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of my point. You know, there are a lot of players who overcame things. You know, some would suggest, you know, that's what makes AC great because, you know, he overcame cancer, didn't he?
Yeah, and so did his wife.
Right.
I mean,
so,
to me,
that's
a bigger deal.
Exactly, that's a bigger victory.
It's a bigger victory when your spouse goes down. You're done. You're an emotional wreck. You can hold yourself together if you're sick. But when somebody you love is sick, you can't hold it together.
That's a whole different.
And he did.
A whole different. Yeah. So that doesn't speak to his football ability. That speaks to his, you know, his thing as person, right? And which is great
his
as
character.
A person. But when we talk about football and football greatness and quarterback greatness, you know, one can only talk about players like if you really want to talk about quarterback greatness. The name Warren Moon comes up over and over and over again because this guy did it everywhere, you know. He had Edmonton, pretty good team that he played for, right?
Yeah, without question. And Jeff Garcia is another one that comes to mind.
Yeah, you know, but they got to do it. You know, they're part of the formula. You know, it's not all about – it's very easy to suggest that a quarterback or a player – is only good because of the team he played for. We have to remember that they're part of that team. you know. And so, go ahead.
They're an important part of the team, no less so than a goalie.
No, right? Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't matter how good your team is. If your goalie sucks, you're not going to win championships. You know, it doesn't matter how good your team is. If your QB bites it, you're not going to win championships. Nobody's going to argue that. It's an uncontested fact.
Yes. It is important to understand that in this great game of football, especially the Canadian Football League, it is important to understand that quarterbacks, when it comes to three downs, become, you know, a very big factor.
Mm. But we digress because we were on coaches. We went back to AC again.
We went back to AC again. That's right. So we've got Chamblain, and we've got. Well, you know, is it fair to say that Chamblain this year will get a chance to prove how good a coach he is if Saskatchewan doesn't dedicate as much money to winning as they did last year?
I think you're just going to see their true colors.
Or their true ability.
Yeah.
Because they'll always be green. It just depends what shade.
Yes. Yeah. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. You know it.
That's what I said. That may not be what
but
it is what I said.
I don't think that all of the aces are going to be in their hands next year. And I'm going to leave it at that before I get myself in trouble.
No, you know, I get it. You know, let's be clear about something. We do have teams we prefer as fans, and then we have teams that we don't like, which, you know, is all part of being a fan. You know, you're not an original. On the program, you are a little more of an original when it comes to that kind of thinking. But still, you're not unique. So, you know, there are, for example, are teams I don't want to see win. And I'm trying to think of what is there, because I haven't really ever given this any thought. Is there a CFL team I'd prefer not to see to win? I'm trying to think. Probably, I guess I'd have to say that Montreal, more than any other team, is a team that I don't like seeing win. But I think that's more of a function of before the Argos won the Grey Cup and before Saskatchewan won the Grey Cup, how Montreal was always there and it got boring. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I do. I grew up with Edmonton in my face.
Yeah.
And BC in last, right? In the West, over and over again. So, you know, I've never been a fan of Edmonton, but right now I'm cheering for them because they're so far as the underdog. And, you know, Winnipeg's been the same thing. It's been so long since a Grey Cup. I'm always supporting them. And then they came out with that, we're clean show, right? So all that garbage with the Swaggerville and that arrogance of that. And I couldn't wait till BC drove them into the ground in the 2011 Grey Cup just because of that garbage. And so, but, you know, back I'm rooting for Winnipeg again because they're – You don't kick them when they're on the mat, okay? And, you know, Toronto, I've never liked Toronto as a team. I've never liked the city of Toronto, and I'm not picking on you or your city or anything else, but I've always had a lot of problems from office in Toronto. So,
you know, Chris, when it comes
Montreal
to
is just a – Western Canada is just we have problems with Quebec, so, you know, we don't like Montreal. I've never liked the Montreal Canadiens, being a Boston Bruins fan.
So it seems the further east you go, the more dislike you get.
Oh, no, I'm a big fan of Hamilton.
I know, but Hamilton's west of Toronto.
Barely.
But it still is. Okay. Now, you mentioned Toronto. When it comes to disliking a city on a personal level, that's a personal decision, and I can't argue what, you know, someone don't like city. That's silly. All I care about, and when it comes to this program, is that we don't get personal and personally attack or demean. And you're not demeaning. You're just saying you don't like it. You don't like the city, and that's fine. I'll like the city enough for both of us. So, you know, we're good there.
Yeah. No, That's cool. I mean, you've got the best quarterback in the league. I absolutely love Ricky Ray. He is outstanding. He is the best quarterback we have in the league at this point in time. So, you know, I'm ecstatic with him, and I'm supporting him. So I did like to see Toronto win the 100th Grey Cup, just to see Ricky Ray go in there and win the cup, okay? Had nothing to do with the rest of the team. I was proud of Ricky Ray to go in there and do that. I really wish he had gone to Hamilton and Burris had gone to Toronto, because that would have been perfect for me. But
not so much for me. Not so much for me.
No, probably not.
I kind of like where he ended up.
Of course he did.
There you go.
But we both know why he's there.
Do we, you know, the next thing I'd like to talk about, we'll take a short break, and we'll talk about, Mike's with us now. When we come back, Mike will join us, and I would like to put it bluntly, I would like to talk about the coaching in Montreal, and I want you guys to think about the fact, has he run out of time? Has Pop been put into a corner where now he doesn't have a coach he can get, because basically the experienced coaches, the better ones, are gone? And he tried the experiment with bringing somebody in from the outside, and it didn't work. We'll take this break, and we'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Candid Frank live here on Blog Talk Radio. My name's Frank Sinisi. I'm here with Christopher Jones, and Mike Townsend will be joining us shortly. Hello, everyone. I'm Candid Frank Live and a member of the Argo Lifers, a fan supporter group of the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League. As a group, we have been dedicated to working hard at Argo games, screaming, yelling, and doing whatever it takes to distract the opposition in the CFL. Guess what? We have been noticed by many, including the Toronto Argonauts themselves. In fact, we have been noticed by you, the fans, as well. Even the players and coaches and all the Argo staff are pleased and appreciate our support. So much so that the season tickets are being offered to you, you, and you for next season for very close to half price. What do you have to do to share in this opportunity? Just use my name, Candid Frank Live Stanishi, when calling Argo sales rep Chris Andrioli at 416-341-2793. You heard it, nearly half price from Chris Andrioli at 416-341-2793. Just say Candid Frank Live Stanishi sent you. That number again, 416-341-2793. I hope I'll be yelling next to you in 2014. Argos! Now, that was something in, we mentioned Lions Den, so I figured, what the heck?
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, boy, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
Outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay, but in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go? I'm going to go. Go, 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 go.
There you go.
Ooh, get out of there. Get out of there.
You got it.
That's football Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know? I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later. Mark, see you later. Tim, see you later. And he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it. And I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
So you see, those that love the CFL for a reason. And that's the biggest reason why I love the CFL. It does, in fact, have players that have and give the time of day to their fans. So, okay, now we've got Mike Townsend, and so now we're going to have to get Mike Townsend's opinion on the subjects that we brought up, and we'll see if his opinions are valid or not. We'll figure it out. And also, I'll be bringing in, I'm bringing in Kelly Bale as well. So let's first welcome Mike Townsend to the program. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Frank? How you doing?
Nothing much, buddy. Kelly Bale, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Okay.
What's up, Kelly?
Kelly?
All right. Good stuff. Let's first, both of you, one at a time, we'll talk about, all right, AC, Anthony Calvillo. We'll start with Kelly. Kelly, do you have an opinion on him? Top 10, top 25, top 50, top 100? Not really that good a quarterback, just had great numbers.
Yeah, I've been listening to the show, and I fall in line with you guys. I'd put him somewhere from 15 to 25. Yeah, somewhere in that category. Like you said, he falls a little short in the intangibles category. He isn't that, strong-hearted quarterback that a lot of the guys that you mentioned. I could think of two Rough Rider quarterbacks that I'd put ahead of him in Austin and Lancaster for sure. And, that's basically where I'd leave him, probably around 20th all time.
And that's not an insult.
No.
In my opinion. It's not an insult.
No, it isn't.
Mike, what do you think, Mike?
Well, I feel the same way. Top 15 to 25, because, again, to me, the reason he's in the predicament that he's in now as far as being one of the best quarterbacks is longevity. He's been in the league for a long time. He played for a couple of teams, and by far he's been Montreal's best quarterback that they have had. And, I'm not going to say he was strong-hearted or the best, because I can name a couple of them to me that have been the best. Like Kelly said, Austin, Damon Allen, to me, Tracy Ham. I made my opinions the other day. I really had anything to say about Calvillo. I'm not going to disrespect the guy because he's been in the league and he accomplished winning great cups, but being one of my favorites, I'm cool on Calvillo.
There you go. Okay, now, coaching. We have three coaches up for the Anastukis Award. And your opinions, Mike, on who is the best coach this year? Who deserves that award and why?
Well, right now, Corey Chamberlain. He won the Grey Cup.
You're
going to be the coach of the year. I mean, you got to be the one that won the Grey Cup. And then second, I go with Ken Austin.
Okay. And Hufnagel doesn't enter the equation when it comes to top two?
No, not to me.
Okay. And that's probably part and parcel of your theory that and your belief that the best results should be the best coach, should be the one
yep.
with the best results. So, yeah,
best
Calgary
results.
Didn't make it to the Grey Cup. Austin did. So that makes him an automatic number
two. And you know
two.
What, Frank? And I'm not going to discredit Hufnagel's accomplishments that what he's done with Calgary, but 2 years of falling short. I mean, you go to the Grey Cup the previous year, and your team didn't show up, and then the next year you just fall apart in the playoff game. I mean, they didn't make really no adjustments to me. So, I feel that he didn't even make the top two to me. If you can get past the threshold of getting to the Grey Cup and winning it, then I'll put Hufnagel in that category. But right now, I'm not going to do it.
Bruce Johnnitz wants me to tell you that he loves your rig.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
on a non-football subject. Kelly, yeah, you're going to make a case for Chamberlain, I assume, as a Saskatchewan fan.
Yeah, for sure. sorry about that, Christopher. But, the 8-0 start, I mean, best start ever by a Saskatchewan coach. We've had some pretty memorable ones in Austin, in John Gregory, in Ken Miller, in Eagle Keys, even going back real far for
wow.
you, Frank.
Yeah, thanks.
that storybook season that everybody just witnessed, That was written by Corey Chamberlain from day one. It was his plan that was implemented, and it was his brainchild, you know, and it definitely, you know, I think you'll see a documentary made about it in the near future by TSN. And it really was a fantastic season, probably go down in history as top one or two seasons for the Rough Riders in the history. And I just think that he kept it together, faced a lot of adversity this season with some injuries and some team issues, as we all know about, the legal troubles and stuff like that. And, yeah, he... Is a media master. Well, you know, the bar stuff.
You're the last person. You're the last person, Chris, that can ask that question. You've given the answer.
Well, yeah. You know, anytime he was confronted in the media about that, just pure professionalism oozes from this guy. If you've ever seen his counterpart there in Pittsburgh in the NFL, that was his mentor. Pardon me, guys. Do you know the name of the head coach there in Pittsburgh?
Oh yeah, Mike
Holmgren?
Tomlin.
Tomlin. Yeah, Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Yeah, another ex-player.
This is Corey Chamberlain's mentor. He's been compared to him in the past by our media, and he really is, you know, that level of professional. Now, I have a lot of respect for Kent Austin and what went on in Hamilton this year. I'm not saying that he didn't do a fantastic job. I just think that the job done by Chamberlain in Saskatchewan just eclipses what he did there.
All right. We have another listener in. Who else is popping in here now?
Hello.
Hello.
Yep. It's me, Manasseh.
Hey, Manasseh. Welcome. Perfect timing, Manasseh. The two subjects that I wanted to discuss, and then we can move on to anything else you guys want to discuss, but I did want to talk about the two issues that cropped up this week and two subjects I'd love to talk about. On the subject of AC, Anthony Calvillo, I come in on the idea that he's a top 25 in history for quarterback in the CFL. The guys here, a couple have said, 15 to 25 is a good number. Where do you see him fitting in historically as a quarterback in the history of the CFL?
I still stand by the fact that as a player, period, he's the best player in the history of the league, hands down.
But that's
close.
Number one, right? You're saying number one.
Number one, yeah. Okay. Irregardless of position, overall number one player.
And what makes him number one in your mind? Help us to understand and help me to understand how I can move him up 24 places or somewhat near 24 places.
Well, I mean, I think for the CFL, you know, like there's been other guys who are better players. Let's say Doug Flutie, Warren Moon. I think at times you could say they were better players, but those are guys that only spent, you know, a certain amount of time and they moved on to the NFL. But for me to be the best player in the CFL, you have to be a guy that was a lifelong CFL player that stuck with the league and performed at a high level for a long time, and that's what he did. I mean, multiple championships, went to the Grey Cup many times, broke records. And the matter is, from me, I started watching the CFL in 2009 on, and every time I've ever seen a Calvillo game or that Montreal was playing, he was the guy everyone was afraid of. He was always the quarterback that no one in the league wanted to go up against because they had the highest level of respect for him. So I thought that spoke volumes. And I haven't seen any other player since then that struck that kind of fear into defenses and to opposing teams. If you guys know one, then let me know who that might be.
Yeah, no, we discussed earlier, you know, Manasseh, Chris and I feel that also Ben Cahoon was a great contributor to to AC's greatness. And sometimes, you know, players either get a lot of credit because of the team they have around them or a lot of discredit because they don't have a team around them. So sometimes it's not a function of how good the quarterback is. It also is the team that was around them. And even more importantly, when it comes to Montreal, the garbage that was being played by the other teams in the division. You know, I'm an Argo fan.
Yes.
And it was pathetic. It was pathetic. You know, the Argos were pathetic there for a few years. And that set the table. That sets the table as much as, you know, that's why I really admire and enjoy this season, because there's actual competition in the Eastern Division. And even though the guys are, for example, Christopher doesn't think that it doesn't matter who Hamilton played, they wouldn't have won. I don't quite agree, but you know, that's where opinion comes into it. I happen to think the East is in the best shape it's been in a few years, and as equal and as competitive as it's been in a few years. And Calvillo was in there when and Montreal were in there when there really wasn't that much competition. I mean, who did they have to compete against in Calvillo's? And I'm not trying to wear the guy down and knock him off his perch. I'm just saying you got to respect the guys that came before him. That let's talk about what the guys have done, and their ability. You don't think that he had? Do you think he had a fair competition to help explore how great he was, or was it almost to a degree handed to him because of the poor performances by the teams in the division the past few years?
But I mean, if you're going to say that, then you have to put a caveat on some of the guys in the past, like Warren Moon.
Oh, absolutely.
Warren Moon, when he was in Edmonton, remember there was no salary cap, so the teams that had the money to put better players around you. And Edmonton was the richest team, and that's why, Warren Moon looked great. When Doug Flutie played in the 90s, the same thing. The teams you were on, your teams that had the most money, they had the money to pay him and pay for players around him. So,
perfect. But doesn't that speak to this? You're not trashing Warren Moon by saying that. You have an opinion, and I respect that opinion, and you're 100% right. So, when we talk about the best quarterback in the history of the CFL, you're right. There's caveats all over the place. I mean, there's lots of caviar even. I mean, because stuff smells like fish sometimes because, like Buck Pierce, when you mentioned about Buck Pierce, when Christopher mentioned about Buck Pierce. I mean, I love Buck Pierce, but, you don't mention him in the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the CFL. You know what I mean? Because he gets
injured. I didn't.
Yeah, no, I know you didn't. His name was brought up. And John, why didn't you tell me you were home? We had an agreement that you were going to text me in Facebook.
Oh, I'm just like that, Frank. I just decided to change my mind.
That's
like
the way you roll,
time.
Right? That's the way you
roll.
That's
how I roll, senor. Welcome, fellas, and welcome.
Hey, John.
First-time caller. Hey, Chris and the fellas. You're talking shop, QB, I hear?
Yeah, well, Manasseh, I just brought John in because he called, and I just realized that I want you to have your comment on clarifying, and I have to yield to you when you say about Warren Moon. Yes, that could take some luster off Warren Moon. So there's a lot of quarterbacks, right, Manasseh, that have had, they were fortunate to be on great teams.
Right. Not to mention, I mean, I know people don't think of that is that big of a deal, but 20 years, I mean, no matter what you say, any pro athlete that can play 20 years and 15 out of the 20 be at a high level, that in itself is a major accomplishment,
No argument.
It's only
because
he didn't take any hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's him being smart. I mean, what kind of player purposely puts himself, like Buck Pierce, look at him, right? He puts himself in bad positions, he gets hurt. And he's not even productive with it. I get that he's courageous and he's tough, but let's be honest. You got to be smart too. At the same time, your team's not going to succeed if you're constantly on the sidelines. Which is why Montreal was so consistent.
I agree with you 100%. And he is Buck Pierce is counterproductive, and the counterproductive part is if you don't want to hook slide, then you're going to pay the price.
Right, and at the end of the day, you got to keep going back to if you consider Ricky Ray the best quarterback in the CFL now, which he is, what's the difference between him and Anthony Calvillo? They literally have almost identical games. Do they not?
I get what you're saying, but I don't think Ricky Ray tosses the ball into the stands that much, though.
Oh, come on.
I don't think he tosses it. How many
the
times
difference between Ricky Ray and Anthony Calvillo is Ricky Ray is part of a team. Anthony Calvillo is a loner. And if he's not going to participate in the team, then I'm not going to put him up there on that pedestal because Ricky Ray actually participates and he's out there talking to his team.
Now, Christopher, you can't say that when you don't know the guy. You're not in the locker room. You're not with the people. That's a statement we can't. None of us know. All we know is what happens on the field.
We can, but Manasseh,
what happens on the field is the biggest part of this game.
we can see by body language too, guys. I mean, you know, they're but you know, that's a function of maybe him concentrating, like I said to Chris earlier. You know, but he does turn his back on people. He does put the towel over his head, and he does, you know, almost hide from everybody else. But I think that's more of a focus thing than a unteammate-ish thing. I don't know. John, what do you think of AC as a quarterback?
Are we questioning his abilities? I don't know, guys. I think Mike and Mike hit it on the nail when I didn't catch Kelly's comments, but regarding longevity is the key factor to anybody who deserves any credit, the way he should deserve the credit that he gets for being one of the top 10. I think, you know, if we're going to go back in history and compare quarterbacks in different time frames of, athletes and the way the league is and when they were actually labeled as professionals and, you know, all this stuff, you got to look at the competition that he was competing against in the last two decades. The quality of players was totally different than we're comparing Warren Moon's type of players that they had out there. Now, Warren Moon is the guy who I consider up to now Anthony as one of the top five guys that really stood out. He performed every time he came out in the field, just like Anthony did. I mean, no matter who his team he had, like one of you guys, I believe, said that you feared him when he came out in the field. You know, it was him that the other team paid attention to. It wasn't the soldiers that he had, okay? He had many soldiers in his regiment throughout the years, and he was the one who always led the pack. He deserves a lot of credit. Maybe we don't like
his
style.
John, you don't think that he had an outstanding receiving corps in his time?
Well, outstanding. No, you know what, Frank? I think he made them into receivers. Quarterbacks usually make receivers because they got to get in the ball. And receivers get, they get famous because of hooking up. You know, initially receivers get attention because they end up being a star with one-on-one quarterbacks, somebody who they hooked up with, and that's how we know them. And then they become famous because we recognize they have good hands, good speed or whatever, okay? But
right.
Anthony made these guys into receivers. He more or less made them stars. He got them the ball. His accuracy, you can't compare the guy's accuracy, okay? The guy's got an accurate arm. And he's got a hard throwing arm, even at his age. We're, you know, in the 40s, and he was still slinging a shot, all right, guys? So, I'm not sure all the teardown is deserving here, Chris.
Okay,
it isn't
a teardown. It isn't a teardown,
John. I'm not tearing him down.
Nobody's tearing him down. Either
way.
I think, John, if I say, okay, put it this way. You say he's a top 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
I do.
I say
you
he's
have
a,
to, just
I,
because of the, long, the length of time he spent as
well, that's
an
where
athlete.
That's where you and Manasseh agree. That's where you and Manasseh agree.
I want to ask, would you put him over Damon Allen? Because Damon Allen had longevity in the league also.
Yeah, I will put him over David. You know, Damon Allen wasn't, and you guys talk about locker room guy. Anthony is the locker room guy. He is, like I said, he took every team under his wing, okay? You might see him as a solitude player because he put the towel on his head, but like Fran said, that's concentration, okay? That's focusing on what he needs to do next when he goes out there. He doesn't have to look at the screen or look on the field to know what's going on. You know, he should be focusing on what he did wrong the last three plays, who he saw coming after him, you know, and all those things. That's his style. It works. He's a champion, bottom line. That's the way it is, guys. If you can last, you deserve the credit. Even better than Damon Allen. Heck yeah. You know, Damon, you know.
Doug Flutie?
Doug Flutie, look, I'm not. Doug Flutie to me was the guy. He's a locker room guy. He's a people person guy, and on top of it, he's an athlete. At his size, are you kidding? That's even more deserving of credit because he's the underdog of all underdogs, and he wasn't even supposed to be playing that position. Never mind playing football. Okay, so yeah, that's a different category.
He played for a while too, right?
Who did?
Doug Flutie.
Yeah. Oh. Many years. I mean, come on. And how many leagues did he go through? That's another thing we forget about. You know, guys, Anthony deserves everything. He had a great career. You don't become a champion and last this long because you're not one of the greats. He definitely is.
Matt Dunnigan?
Buddy,
Matt Dunn, yeah, I was about to say Dunnigan. But see, Calvillo had the receivers, man. At first, Calvillo didn't have the receivers that he had now when he had S.J. Green, Jamaal Richardson,
hold
and a
on,
couple of
which
and,
team
are
you talking about? Which Anthony
I'm
are you talking
about?
About? You talking about? Hold on. No, let's get it straight, guys. I know you guys have been following only certain years, but you got to put everything
man.
In the picture. Okay. I'm going to go on you on that. I'm going to go on you because of the following, because you're not putting everything in perspective, all right? Which teams are you? Are you talking about the Ticat team? He didn't have receivers? Or are you talking about the Montreal team? Because we forget he was a Hamilton Ticat for a few years too, guys. And he didn't do too bad there. And he didn't have the same receivers that he took from Hamilton and brought him to Montreal. It's a new core every year. And if you know the cycle and the turnstile that happens in the CFL with the receivers, you got to know that he always had different ones each year. He made those guys into stars. They didn't come to the team as stars.
So we're still on air. I just don't think anybody knows.
Have any response.
Yeah, because that's the fact, Jack. That's the fact, and you got to look at the big picture here.
Okay, no, hey, listen, I got no problem with looking at the big picture. The big picture isn't something that that I have a problem with. I think of Russ Jackson. I think of a lot of quarterbacks. I think of Sonny Wade in Montreal. I don't even think Anthony Calvillo was the best quarterback in Montreal.
Was. No, Frank, he was. Guys,
that's got to be the most ridiculous statement I've heard in quite some time. I'm sorry.
I think Sonny Wade was a pretty good quarterback in Montreal.
Really?
No.
On the same level as Calvillo? I mean,
you're
saying he might have been better? I mean, that's, come on, man.
When we say Montreal Alouettes, okay.
Sam Etcheverry?
No, Frank, we're talking about, you know, let's just use one decade of fans who've been following. Okay?
This helps make the conversation real. This is a league that's over 100 years old, has had over 100 championships. So we're going to talk now about the last 10 years. Okay, if we're talking about the last
Frank,
10 years.
I'm just, let's not go. You're not, now you're trying to diffuse what Mike got you on about the ridiculous comments. So, okay, I'll give you that.
Hey,
throw it my way.
Are you telling me that Sonny Wade wasn't a great quarterback?
Compared to Anthony? Are you kidding me? What are you smoking?
How many Grey Cups did Anthony win?
I didn't give him anything.
Frank, let's
that's
not
three. That's three. Come on. That's still.
How many teams did he take to the Eastern Championship? Never mind, just the Grey Cup. Come on, guys. Let's not go there.
Yeah, but Sean, I mean, you're right. Take him to the Eastern Championship, but also look at what the Eastern Division was. It was pathetic.
Okay,
no,
Christopher.
It didn't take much to go to the Eastern Championship.
Christopher, why don't you name for us all the quarterbacks that have three Grey Cup rings? Go ahead, name for us all of them. Who are they? Yeah, there's like two or three people. That's it. Case closed, man. There's no discussion here. Either you just don't like him for whatever personal bias you have against him. There's no way you can dispute. This guy leads all-time passing yards leader, 20-year career, three Grey Cup rings, went to the Grey Cup 8 times, right? He's been the MOP several years. There's no discussion, guys. It's not even close. For him to not be in the top 10 is laughable. I mean, he's top 5 minimum. In my book, he's number 1. So I don't know how anyone can have him lower than 10. That's crazy, man. Come on.
Hold on, guys. I missed the first part of the show.
I never rated him. All I said, he wasn't the greatest.
You can put that on me, and I'll stand behind it.
Yeah,
wow.
I did not rate him. I just said he is not the greatest quarterback of all times. That was the only thing I said.
Okay, Christopher, where is he then? Is he a top 10 quarterback?
I don't have enough knowledge in quarterbacks in which I'm going to argue with this one. Okay,
Christopher, man up. I did. I don't have a problem with admitting if I made a mistake, I made a mistake, but I still stick to it. And mistake or nothing, top 25 for him. And let me throw this out there too. How much impact do you think Tressman had on Calvillo and his record? And why didn't Calvillo do so well this year? He sucked. Why did he suck this year, Calvillo? Before he went down with the concussion, he was horrible. Why is that?
Oh, my God, guys. We're talking about a guy in his freaking 40s who comes back from a cancer recovery, and we're expecting to be a superstar off the top of each year. I expect him to maybe it'll be a little bit lousy considering he had a coach that screwed up the whole chemistry that started the season that he couldn't stand, and he was trying to voice his opinion, but he tried to be the trooper, you know, and go with the flow, with the American kind of style of coaching, no pun intended, as far as any offense to any American coaches. But come on, guys. Are we forgetting what happened here? I mean, are you talking to me and Mike?
I asked a question, and you're offended by my – hey, listen, you know, he had a horrible year, and to me what it looked like, what happened this year, really, I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying there's proof there that what Christopher's saying, there's some truth to that, because he sure didn't seem like a team player at the beginning of this year when things didn't go well. You know, the look that
he hissy fit.
Guys,
he
if
did.
You guys ever are part of a team that hires an idiot coach, okay, and I had one. I experienced it. And the guy comes in and, you know, gets rid of Bruce and sends him away because he didn't like him. Screwed up the whole chemistry, lasts for 1 year, all right? I'm not going to mention his name because he doesn't even deserve to be mentioned on the air. He's such a jerk of a coach, and it's exactly what happened in Montreal. It screws everything up. It screws the whole team, the whole year.
Having said that, John, I started by saying what credit did Tressman deserve in the success that Anthony Calvillo had?
Listen, Anthony made Tressman. Okay,
really?
That's what happened. Anthony made Tressman into being a successful coach. Without Anthony,
so why didn't Anthony do that to Hawkins then?
What are you talking about? Because he gave the open door policy. Like Hawkins came in.
You said he made the coach. The quarterback
right.
made the coach. So why the hell didn't he do it with Hawkins? He didn't.
Did you see Hawkins? Hey, am I on the air here? Are you understanding me, Chris? Do you know who Hawkins is? What an idiot he was? He came in like a clown.
John, he didn't come in like
a professional.
You're right, John.
Come on, man.
John, no one's
what?
Disagreeing with you that Hawkins wasn't a great coach. All right, no one's disagreeing.
He's a moron.
Did you guys follow the beginning of the first three games?
Yeah,
did you guys read the
John,
Montreal Alouettes articles? What they? I don't think you guys were following the Alouettes.
Okay, hang on.
I don't
John,
think you.
John.
What?
John.
No,
John,
I'm pissed off because you're misinformed. You guys are
no,
all misinformed.
Slow down. All I wanted to point out. I didn't mean to turn this into a gutter fight between who's rotten and who's not.
Well,
all
you got to. You can't go on air and throw shit on without your research, guys.
Oh, hang on.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying.
No, here's
That's
what
right,
I'm
brother.
Saying. Here's what I'm yeah. saying, okay, if you'll let me finish. Tressman, all right, developed a reputation for helping. He was hired to go to the NFL in Chicago in particular for one reason alone, to teach the quarterback how to be quarterback, to be a quarterback. And he developed that reputation because of what he'd done in Montreal. And Anthony Calvillo benefited from the great coaching that Tressman had. We said at this program, and I will repeat again, guys, great players have great players around them. Bad players, you know, aren't always bad. Sometimes good players have bad players around them. So that's life. So and I'm going to sit here and say maybe I'm wrong about putting him at 25 because of what I heard, and I'll be honest with
Major.
You. I'll be honest with you. With the intensity that both you and Manasseh feel about AC, I'm feeling your love. And, you know, I'm going to put him up now. I'm going to say he's the top 10 quarterback of all time because you guys made great cases. And I was wrong to suggest that he be 25. But I just wanted you to understand, you guys to understand, that takes more than an individual to be great. He needs people around him that help him to be great. The point was made about Warren Moon. Christopher grew up with the frustration of being a BC fan, watching the highly paid Edmonton Eskimos kick his team's ass all the time. And he feels it's because of the money that they had and the great players that Warren Moon had around him. But I think Warren Moon proved by when he went to the NFL that there was a lot more to Warren Moon than just the guys around him.
No
that's
doubt.
It. And that's all I'm trying to say. Oh,
I
go
didn't
ahead,
say that
Chris.
About
if you want,
Warren Moon,
if you want to correct me, you can correct me, Christopher. What did you mean when you said you remember a long history of the highly paid, you know, Edmonton Eskimos?
I didn't say that. You did.
I said
all I remember is my team getting the shit kicked out of them day in, day out, year
well,
after
the
year
team.
By the
You're
Edmonton
the one that
Eskimos.
Used the term Rich's team, though. You're the one that used the term Rich's team. I didn't.
No, you did.
Oh, okay.
Honest. You did.
I'm gonna have to listen to it again.
Look, guys, we should never throw in money as the reason why an excuse. I think it's a crybaby excuse. If they found the money and used the money and spent it well, then bravo to them. That's
exactly.
When you get bonuses for management doing their job. So if Saskatchewan, for example, this year ran it up and they ran it up right and they spent it in the right areas, then bravo! It's a company spending their money. Sure, they broke a couple of rules, and they're going to pay a couple of taxes on top of it. But, hey, guys, that's the part of doing business. This
they
is
won.
Not just
no
a
problem.
Sport. Okay. So let's not use Moon and the team and because of the money. That's the excuse that we're going to hate them for that.
No, John. That wasn't the point. And that wasn't what
I
said.
That's the way you guys are making it sound.
No. What I'm saying, and I'd like to make this clear, again, I repeat, my opinion on greatness needs other greatness around it to be great. Greatness isn't an individual. There is no individual that can be great and be the reason
Frank,
why everybody...
Oh, you are wrong again on that because there are some individuals who make great people. Gretzky made his team. He had Coffey and the other guys that made the... But he went to L.A., made a team there. He went to St. Louis and made
cups
a team there.
In LA,
so there
John?
Are people...
How many
what?
Cups did he win in L.A.? How many
Frank,
cups did he win in L.A.?
It's how many contenders did he make into a lousy team?
Okay,
a,
John,
look, let's not even go
John,
into the Gretzky.
Right,
I'm
that,
just
that,
telling you, there are players who could make
you,
a whole entire team, Frank,
as the
and a quarterback can do it.
You can't use Edmonton's hockey team as an example, and I'll tell you, I'll shut you down real quick. How many Stanley Cups did Messier win? One
Ooh,
more than
New York?
Gretzky. Yeah. With New York, one more than Gretzky. So, you know, and why did Messier, you're falling right into my point. Gretzky was the better player, but Messier had the better team around him.
What? Let's not drift off. Now you're getting silly on me. Okay,
no,
let's go back to the football stuff.
I'm sorry
I brought the hockey analogy comparison in there.
No,
didn't mean
what
to do
I
that
because
I know you're going to jump on
what I
it.
Said is greatness on its own does not guarantee success. It doesn't.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. There's some
well,
people that have proven
okay,
I can tell
okay,
you prove you're
okay,
wrong.
Okay, hang on here for a second. Can I do something here just because I need to? And you want to throw the hockey analogy in here? I want to do that. Who's the better hockey player, Wayne Gretzky or Bobby Orr?
Who cares?
Oh, come on.
Okay?
Who cares?
No. Hey, let me finish for a second, okay? Wayne Gretzky had Semenko and all the goons. He had a whole pile of little bodyguards all around him, and Bobby Orr went out there. Now, it could have been the better and greater hockey player with the stats and the longevity that everybody is so important on, but he got the shit kicked out of him on a regular basis where Gretzky was protected. He was a whining little wimp. But, yes, he got the
different
stats
era.
And he got the longevity in the leg. Okay,
different
so
era.
There's a totally, totally different thing here. Okay, same thing with Calvillo. Different era. He
what?
Got 20 years out of it because he got protected and he threw the ball away.
Wow.
That's the only thing that I'm saying in there. Okay?
Okay,
different style of football.
Okay, Christopher, being a BC Lions fan, of all people in this discussion, you really can't even talk. And the reason I'm going to say that is the two great cups between Montreal and BC, 2000 and 2006, you know, well as I do, the Montreal Alouettes got cheated out of those two great cups. In 2000, when the game was 20-18 at the last play of the game, Cavillo was going for that two-point conversion.
Yep.
That was
yep.
the most blatant pass interference ever. Everybody yep. knew it. And not to mention 2006, Dave Dickinson had that fumble. Everyone knew it was a fumble, but because they didn't have that whole replay challenge system at that point, the BC Lions kept the ball and were able to hold on to win. So of all people, you cannot talk. Cavillo could have easily won five, if not six, Grey Cups. So there's no discussion, and especially being a BC
Lions
fan.
You're right, and you know what? Cavillo shouldn't have won the Grey Cup when when they missed the field goal and the 13th man was on the field. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Maybe he should only have two breakups.
That's totally different. That was the writers made a mistake. In 2000, it was a blatant non-call that everybody in the stadium, including the BC Lions, knew was a pass interference. That was non-debatable. What the writers did in 2009 was the writers' stupidity.
Calvillo lost that game against the Riders. They won. What are you talking about?
Let's take a short break. Let's take a short break. And there's one way to make sure we take a short break is I turn off everybody's mics. Let's take a short break in honor of a great man and a great CFL fan, John Candy. He owned the Argos, and I just love this guy. And I was hunting down some old commercials, something worth playing and take a break to. Here's one with John Candy.
CFL, we play by our own rules.
I'm John Candy, and everybody in Rome loves the Toronto Argonauts.
And I'm qualified, yes, my fine friend. Only a fool would not.
It's Matt Dunnigan forever.
With it, Mel, they'll taste Roman steel, I tell you.
I am not a witch, but I dream they will score many touchdowns.
We all agree with the witch. Did she not see the rocket coming? Well, well, didn't she?
I don't know. I'm not from here.
I am an artist. Still, I love it.
Buy season tickets now.
Have you bought your season tickets yet for the Toronto Argonauts? No? Well, you should. You know, I got mine earlier, but this place over here, I just bought some tickets over here, season's tickets. It should be fabulous. Very inexpensive, too. A man out front sold them to me for a few million lira for one seat. He said it's a very good seat. I haven't seen it yet, but they're very nice here. He took my watch and is going to go get it repaired right now. Should be back any time now.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
Okay, Manasse, I'll let you take 10 seconds and rebut your points because we've gotten way too deep into specifics or you know what I mean. So
yeah.
just give me give me 10 seconds on why you think Calvillo is what he is and where he should be in the top whatever. I'll give you we'll close it this way, give everybody a chance, we'll move on to another topic. So just give me 10 seconds because I'm sure the listeners are confused because they've heard a lot of dissenting comments. Go ahead.
Okay, like I said before, 20-year career, leads the league in both CFL and NFL in all the numbers for all time, passing yards, TDs, you can go through three championships, went to the Grey Cup 8 times, and he beat my Riders twice in 2009 and 2010. So for me personally as a Rider fan and for all Rider fans, there's always a respect for Anthony Calvillo, and for the last 5 years, he was the best player in the league. So, okay, that's it.
And he's number one in your mind.
Yes, sir.
Good enough. Mike, real quick, your quick comment on Calvillo. Review, short version.
Let's move on to the next topic.
Okay. John, looks like Mike gave you some extra time.
I already said my piece, bros. So,
okay.
I'll finish off on Anthony. I'll finish off on Anthony. You guys didn't give enough credit tonight. He deserves more. Mike hit it on the nail. Not maybe number one. He's, to me, in the top five, actually, depending on how far back we want to go. I even like Bonk, if you guys remember him from the Winnipeg days. So, look, there are great quarterbacks out there. It's different styles of play, different eras. They all deserve their credit for what they did and how long they lasted. But when you last this long, you deserve a little bit of extra credit.
Top 10, top long 1. Credit.
I'm going to say definitely top 10. He's definitely in my top 10. I don't like the guy. I never liked Anthony. I booed him all the time. I heckled him. I like to do everything possible to let him know that I'm in the stands and I dislike him and I'm an Argo fan and that's my job, that's my passion. But the guy was good. I hated
him. And you were afraid of him. He was someone
absolutely
to be feared.
Absolutely.
There you
when
go.
When you get on someone's back that bad, like
you know, Bruce likes to do to Argo players. He likes to do to all of them because we're all good, or they are all good. When you heckle somebody really hard, it's because they're good, not because they really, really suck. The ones that really suck, you don't even pay attention to.
Okay. And Kelly, how about you?
Well, just basically going to stick to my story. I can't put him as high because I got to put other guys in front of him, and it's no disrespect to him, but just that I hold different attributes other than maybe the statistical categories higher in regard.
Gotcha. And Christopher Jones, we started with you on this subject, and we'll end with you. We'll leave the final word with you.
I respect Uh-oh. Anthony Calvillo as a person and as a player. I do not think he's the greatest quarterback that this league's seen, ever seen. I don't think he – is he in the top 10? Probably. But he's – there's too many things that I – he is my least favorite quarterback next to Damon Allen.
Me too. So, we got that in common.
Okay.
I agree with you on that.
I'm not dissing his accomplishments. He's just my least favorite, and that's what I said. I said the only one that I dislike worse is probably Damon Allen. So
okay, and we'll and we'll leave it at this. We'll leave it here. We'll leave it at Stevie Myers has told me on Facebook that Flutie is number one and Calvillo, without any doubt, no question, is number two. So you know, so we can leave it there. Now
everybody
of course,
has opinion.
Next
and,
topic.
And the final comment goes to Bruce Jonich. I'm howling listening to you all. It's a funny show tonight. Great entertainment. Okay, so let's be less entertaining, I guess, and more understanding of or more agreeable. I forget the agreeable. Forget it. Okay, listen.
Forget it.
Are you talking coaches tonight too? Weren't you talking coaches?
Yes,
I saw your.
And we talked about the coaches, and you haven't had your chance, John, to talk about the coaches. Three coaches: Huffnagel, Chamblin, Austin. Who's your number one and why, John?
Well, you want to break down as to who should get the Coach of the Year thing? Well,
yeah, that's what we're doing.
Huffnagel, you know, this is the way it is. When you win the Grey Cup, you have the upper edge on it. If you've been in the league for a while on the same team and you win the Grey Cup, you have an upper edge on it. Austin, to me, performed more of a coach. He was in more coaching decisions, was more part of the play, if you want to call it, in decision-making, you know, situations, then I perhaps see the Ryder coach. But because he had the pressure of having a home team in the Grey Cup and having to deal with, you know, a lot of guys who you would say that thought they should win it, maybe had a chip on their shoulder to do it, it's not easy coaching those kind of guys. And he did win it. Regardless of how he won it or where he won it. And it usually goes with that. But if I had to, it'd be like a really hard decision, even harder than Scott and Huffnagel was last year, okay? Austin, to me, I saw him making more coaching decisions than any of the two guys, okay? And I thought he was a more valuable part of the game as a coach than the other two guys were. The other two guys had more tools to play with, okay? More pawns to position and so forth than Austin did. And he had a lot of injuries. He brought a lot of guys, you know, I can't even remember how many rotation of new players that they had going through. And he managed them, and he managed them on the road all the whole season, which deserves a lot of credit. And, you know, they finished on the road with a loss, but I think, guys, you know, if you watch the games, you got to know that, you know, when we listened and watched the games on TV and the Ticats were in it, somehow, all the time, Austin was part of it. Either he was running on the field, disputing a play, changing quarterbacks in the middle of a, you know, third down attempt and going for a run and, you know, all those things. So the bell's my call, right? Is that the end of the answer period, Frank? Is that when the bell went off?
I don't know. I'm thinking that's a good idea to institute it, but no, not this time. Not this time. So,
well,
John, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you a question, John. So who wins the award in your mind?
The Ryder coach.
Okay, thank you. And that's what it sounded like, but I didn't hear that come up. Okay,
I hate it. No, I'm still bordering. I would hate to make the pick. I think Austin deserves it. But when you got the guy who wins the Great Cup and the whole thing at home.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, let's move on to Manasseh.
I think Austin should win it. Okay, there's my answer. Even though I'm a, but Austin should win it. Come on, you'd be an idiot if you can't pick Austin.
Two different answers. Okay, Manasseh, how about you? Are you as conflicted?
Oh, no, not at all. It's Ken Austin by pretty much a landslide.
Because
Huffnagel and, Corey Chamberlain, you know, they did it with much more talented teams, and those are teams that should have been contenders, could have easily went to the Grey Cup regardless of the coach. Ken Austin took a bad team and played them way over their heads, so he deserves it, hands down. And he turned Hamilton into a perennial Grey Cup contender now. So, got to give him credit.
Here, here.
So you see that he's done some long-term good with Hamilton now.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, financially, everything. They're going to be set in such a way the next 3 years. This is going to be the best, you know, 4 or 5 years for any Hamilton Tiger Cat fan, probably going back to the mid-70s. So, I mean, he deserves all the credit for that.
So you don't buy into the theory that John and I buy into, which is at all, as far as teams that should win sometimes are the hardest to put in a position to win by the coach. You know, sometimes they've got too many good tools. You don't believe in that theory?
No, I mean, because at the end of the day, players, you know, make coaches. But if a coach can take a team that we all agree, at the beginning of the year, Hamilton wasn't picked at all to go to the Grey Cup, let alone a lot of people weren't, including myself, didn't make the playoffs.
I did predict that they would beat Hamilton before, over a year ago, that Hamilton would beat the Argos.
In the Eastern Final?
Yeah. I said my concern was that the Hamilton was going to catch the Argos by surprise. And they did.
Fellas, are we forgetting Alouette coach?
Was the show when I predicted it. No,
are we forgetting about a former Alouettes coach who coached the Buffalo Bills to, what, 5 or 4 straight Super Bowls and didn't win them?
Marv Levy,
yeah.
Okay, guys, so, it's hard to...
Does that mean that he's a bad coach, John?
Trying to prove your point that it's hard to, even if you have all the greatest talent on the field, and Kelly was considered the best quarterback through that five, you know... So if you and the best receivers and the running back and all that stuff, they're really in the league and everything, right? So and it's hard. It's sometimes even harder to put a contender and coach them. It's difficult. So was it that difficult to deal with the Riders? Were they top notch?
I'll give you another example that just happened last night in the Seahawks game. The whole game hinged on a great decision by the coach. 4th and 8. And going for it?
True.
That was just amazing. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so coaches can have an impact, right? I mean, that's a coach knowing his players, knowing how to challenge his players.
That's a coach, not a caretaker.
Right. Now,
there's a lot of caretakers out there.
Absolutely. So we've got, Manasseh, you're with Austin. You believe Austin. Mike, did I get a chance to ask you which coach you would vote for?
I'm going with Chamberlain, hands down, because he won the Grey Cup. And even though the Riders had a lot of distractions with the off-the-field incidents with a couple of their players, I mean, you know, Corey Chamberlain didn't let that affect the team or be a disruption to the team. And when the team did get down, they picked themselves back up and went on ahead and, hands down, went through the playoffs. You know, playing real great. Now, I give my hats off to Austin, and like Manasseh said, he took a bad team to the Grey Cup, which everybody wasn't picking him to win the Grey Cup, which I was at the beginning of the season. I said it was going to be Hamilton and the Ryder. That was my pick. And he shuffled that lineup so many times until you thought he was playing with like 3 or 4 deck of cards. So, but he didn't win the Grey Cup. So, like I said, I picked Chamberlain first, And then Austin being a runner-up, and I'm not even going to put Huffnagel in that category right now because they done bombed 2 years in a row.
It was a two-horse race. It was a two-horse race. For sure it was a two-horse race.
It was a two-horse race. And like you said, and, you know, until Huffnagel can get over that one hump, then I'll talk about him in that category or for that Coach of the Year race. But right now, I'm not even going to even mention his name about it. And that's no disrespect to Huffnagel.
I hear you. No. Well, he doesn't meet two requirements that I'm hearing a basis for voting for the Coach of the Year. Either they do something to improve their team drastically, or they win the championship. Needless to say, he didn't fill either of those categories.
Guys,
no, he didn't.
Austin had to keep his whole entire broken-up team motivated on the road the whole entire season. That and playing in a, Mickey Mouse kind of a stadium, temporary stadium, but they had to walk through a muddy
grass
field.
I'm sure Golf is really glad to hear that their stadium is Mickey Mouse, Jeff. Okay, Christopher, review your opinion on the coaches, and then we'll move on to the final subject of the day.
What's this award called?
The Anastukis Award.
Anastukis.
And what's it for?
Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year, not Coach of the Grey Cup game. Coach of the Year. Ken Austin was the Coach of the Year. He may not have been the best coach in the Grey Cup game, but he was the best coach week in, week out this entire year. He took a bad team, he took a team on the road, and he took them to the show.
There you
and
go.
No question. That man is the best coach.
Kelly, you get your shot. Go ahead.
Well, Chamberlain defeated him 2 out of 3 times. So, and guys, you don't understand unless you maybe live in Regina, the microscope that this guy is under. It's the biggest microscope in the football world, fellas. There is no greater pressure than being the head coach of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And, not a lot of people...
Or a kicker.
That's right. you have to look to Regina for most things football in Canada these days, and Corey Chamberlain's just another example of that.
Well,
I think that's
overstating it. I don't think you have to go to Regina. I don't think you have to go to Regina to see everything that's football. I think what you can see in Regina is you can see the biggest group of fans that love their team. The team that won the Grey Cup. I mean, we want to look to the championship
city.
This
year we're the CFL champions, and we're also the Canadian junior champions. We have 3 former University of Regina players playing in the NFL, one of which is going to be playing in the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, in the Super Bowl, absolutely.
Right, so this is Mecca right now. I don't care who is
arguing. For football,
football Mecca.
Yeah. For football, but not the CFL. I think there's other teams in the CFL that can lay claim to having interest in the game of football. There are great teams in the league, and I'm an Argo fan, and I'm not saying the Argos, but but what I'm talking about is the interest in the Canadian Football League. I think
does not run through Regina.
Let me make myself clear. It does not run only through Regina, but it is at its loudest.
Really,
it is at its loudest, oldest in Regina. But it doesn't run only. That's my only difference of opinion with you, Kelly. That's it.
That's mine too, Frank. I agree with you 100%.
Kelly?
Yes.
Question for you. You made a statement earlier tonight about Chamberlain took the great Riders to an 8-0 start. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
I think it was actually 7-0, wasn't it?
No, it was 5.
Oh, 5-0? Okay, then what was it? 8-1 eventually?
Chamberlain is a good coach. He did what he had to do.
He's a great coach.
He did what he had to do. And Saskatchewan? And Saskatchewan won the Grey Cup. Now, when you can put him in a category of being one of the greatest coaches, if they can win 2 or 3 more Grey Cups, and his dream is being the coach.
And because,
go ahead and,
because, Mike, like John said earlier, money is no guarantee that you're going to win.
Money is no guarantee that you're going to win.
I know.
Then you can also put him in it. Then you can put him in
the
category with Mike Tomlin, like they did before.
Unless it's the CFL.
Yep.
Do you believe that when BC won the Grey Cup 3 years ago, do you think that was money that made them win in Manasse?
Yeah, I think it was partially.
Were they the highest paid?
I think it had to do with their new stadium. That was part of the thing. But it was also the fact that the East had nobody. They played Winnipeg in the grill. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but that isn't. They still, I get what you're saying, Manasse, and I'm not going to argue the point of who they played and how easy a victory it was. But still, they got to come out of the West, just like the East. If the East was the tough division, you still got to beat
right.
the teams in the East. You know, it's not like those teams are they're hiding on other teams. They can't hide. They got to play the West. They got to be the best in their side of the equation, and then they got to beat the other team that was the best on the other side of the equation. So I don't believe in that. I don't think that's a fair statement, number one. Number two,
was it money?
I asked a simple question. Was it money? We're getting off track, guys. Was it money that allowed BC and Toronto to win the Grey Cup?
The point is both teams were inside their salary cap.
Come on, guys.
That's
the point
true.
I'm making, which so you have to give into, it isn't about money because teams who spend a lot of money. Last year, Saskatchewan was the highest paid team. They didn't win the Grey Cup. They did this year, but they didn't last year.
That's right.
I guess they didn't pay the right
people. Technically, it was last year. We're in 2014, so it was last year. So you're talking about 2 years ago.
Okay, whatever, John. I'm talking about the three Grey Cups. The three Grey Cups.
I get it, but, people are listening, and you're saying last year. Just trying to...
When BC won the Grey Cup, BC, they had talent on all sides of the ball, so it wasn't money. Now, Saskatchewan, they spent a lot of money the last 2 years in a row to get the Grey Cup. I'm not going to say to get it. Let me rephrase it before I have a lot of people in Regina hating on me. They spent a lot of money to pay the players to win the Grey Cup.
Right,
that's
to give them a chance to win the Grey Cup. And it took a good coach making the right decisions with the players that he had, because that could have turned – hey, guys, come on. You don't think that guy that caught two passes in the Grey Cup during the season could have been put in a position where he might have blown up the team? Because there was a lot of dissension on the team. Chamblin did a great job, and Kelly can speak to this better than I can. It wasn't an easy road for Chamblin to coach that team, was it, Kelly?
No, not at all. I mean, there was news stories, basically cameras and microphones in his face every day. And, I'm a guy that goes out to practice, and, I'm telling you, it was a media circus around here for a couple of weeks. So definitely faced some adversity. And, there was other things, too, that, national media doesn't even really know. So,
but that's how intense
I don't think that's different in any city, honestly.
No, it isn't.
I mean,
that's true.
You go out to the BC Lions practice, and the reporters are constantly harassing Benny. What's this? What's going on here? What's doing that? So I don't think that Chamblin got more media attention than Huffnagel, than Benavides, than Pop, than anybody. Okay? So, I don't necessarily buy that under the microscope better than that.
Well, okay.
No,
But you know what, Frank? The reason I say and I agree with Kelly on the fact that he said they had a lot of media attention. You have to remember, guys, the Grey Cup was going to be in Regina. So, of course, they're going to have a lot of media attention because a lot of people were sticking them to be in the Grey Cup, not just because they wouldn't have the microphone in Chamberlain's face. The whole team as a whole was being interviewed by the media. And then the distractions with the team, with a couple of the players. I mean, that's the reason why the media was there. Now, when BC's holding the Grey Cup next year, BC going to be in the media because they're going to be expecting to win the Grey Cup in their home stadium. That's the reason why they had a lot of media.
Yep.
It's not because of the Chamberlain had a lot of things going on. It's because of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as a whole.
Absolutely. And if I could fine-tune what Mike is saying, I'll put it this way to you, gentlemen. It isn't so much how many cameras are at the practice. It's how many eyes are looking at what the cameras produce that matters. And that's That's the pressure. That's the pressure. But it's not how many cameras are in the stadium.
You can't see that from the other side of the camera.
Oh.
So the pressure is the same.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, the pressure is the same.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Listen, as a guy who lives in Toronto, where we have probably one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League over the last 50 years, you know, the attention that they get undeserved, in other words, the attention they get for a team that really shouldn't get any attention, is totally amazing. And if you were to tell me that the attention that the Leafs get in the dressing room is equal to every other National Hockey League team?
No way.
I'd have to say, firsthand experience for me, I could buy into the fact that Saskatchewan gets a lot more attention than the Argos do. I could buy into that. Only because of knowing how the Leafs are treated, who don't deserve that kind of attention. And how everybody hangs off every word that comes out of that dressing room. And that's what happens, I believe, in Saskatchewan.
I don't think the Canucks are any different in the hockey realm of things. So,
well,
you know,
it's
I can't
just
get up in the morning without 10 pages of hockey news and half a page of CFL, even when there is no hockey and the CFL is going to the playoffs, you know. It's ridiculous.
Well, then let me rephrase it. Not all teams in every league have the same intense attention on them, you know. It's just a fact of life. Some teams, like the Yankees in baseball, that, you know, one of them farts, the whole world knows they did. They know what it smells like. You know, come on.
Red Sox,
New York.
Cowboys in football. Cowboys in football. Look at the Giants. The reason they sucked is because the Giants in football is because of the pressure. They buckled, Eli Manning and company buckled under the poor start that they had. And the media was all over them. And Giants fans are the worst. They're like,
yes,
Philly
they
fans. They're like Philly fans, man. You know, so let's not talk about all fans and all media are equal, because they're not. I will say that the Leafs and the Canucks are very similar because of them being the size that they are and the interest in the team. I'll give you that for sure, Christopher. But if you go to Florida, I'm sure, I'm positive, there might be an iPod going at the player when it comes to hockey.
Yeah. Florida Panthers, yeah. Okay, no arguments there, Frank. Won't dispute that one, my friend.
There you go.
I'm talking about Canadian teams.
Yeah, no, but that's all I was trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say is that I think you have to grant Kelly his puffed-out chest that his people care more about his team than any other team in the league, especially now because they had, like Mike said it 100% right, because the Grey Cup was there, Kelly, there was a lot more pressure because of that as well. We're not just talking about the team. Like Mike Townsend said, it's about the Grey Cup was there. So there was even that much more pressure on them. Just like here in Toronto when Toronto had the Grey Cup here.
I was just about to mention that, Frank. Look how much pressure Toronto was under being a home team playing the Grey Cup in Toronto. The media and the newcomers was all
and
there.
And he won Coach of the Year.
And he won Coach of the Year. So,
that's right.
You know, it's the media. And Toronto has started that trend when they won the Grey Cup in Toronto. So, I mean, now that these Grey Cups are going to these stadiums, a lot of people are picking the home team, and the media is going to pick the home team and put them under the microscope because, you know, hey,
and
you got
raise
the
level
Cup.
Of expectation. And raise the level
there
of
you
expectation.
Go.
Right?
There you go. Yep. That's
now,
it.
We only got a few minutes
out of my
left.
Mouth.
We got only a few minutes left. We've all had a chance to discuss the two main topics of the day. We've even digressed in lots of directions. The other subject I wanted to talk about, but if you guys come up with a better one, my suggestion is I'd like to ask the question, what's going on in Ottawa, the Red Blacks? Will they be a team that makes the playoffs this year with what you're seeing going on?
No.
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 I don't know.
Okay, why do you say I don't know?
Come on, Mike.
I don't know because I just want to see what's going to happen when the free agent signings and the trades and other players being released, see who they pick up.
And I assume that everybody's saying no because, quite frankly, the West is way too strong for an Eastern team to cross over, A. And B, Toronto, Montreal, and Hamilton are really on a roll. Those teams really have – they're probably going to be the most competitive season that we've seen in the CFL East. And that's going to what's going to make it hard for Ottawa. Do you guys agree?
Case closed.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yep. Montreal's going to be the wild card there, but they're looking good.
Yeah, Montreal is looking good, but I'm going to tell you, all them receivers that they got out there in Montreal, a couple of them not going to be on that team. And I'm pretty I'm thinking, but you having Dave Stoller, which he's not going to be a starter, but he's going to be a reliable second down go-to guy. You got Deron Carter. You have S.J. Green. You got Jamel Richardson. You got Brandon Whitaker, which is a running back and can play wide receiver. And
why wouldn't they be back, Mike? Yeah, but why wouldn't they be back?
Then you got Arlen Bruce.
Right.
You got Arlen Bruce. You're going to keep all them receivers. Somebody's going to be expendable.
The only free agent coming up is Deron Carter. If they are going to release somebody, they're going to release Dave Stella, and then they're going to release Arlen Bruce. They're going to keep A.J. Richardson, that's obvious. So it's all the members is Deron Carter coming back, and if he does...
We're losing Mike. Sorry, Mike.
That's Manasseh's phone.
Oh, it's Manasseh. You know, sorry, guys. We used to call Manasseh Minnesota Mike, so I keep calling him Mike, too. Sorry about that. Yeah, we missed that, Manasseh. I didn't catch any of that.
Your mic's not working, Manasseh. We cannot hear a thing you're saying.
Hey, guys. All right, so we're talking the Ottawa thing. Look, I don't want to change subject, but I got another topic is the stadiums. Okay, I just Annette Pottinger sent me a link about the Lansdowne Stadium and the renovation plans, and it's one of those picture collages, and it sends you the progress and stuff. And from what I see, I'm loving the Ticat Stadium more and more. That I'm looking at the comparison between the two. Lansdowne Stadium doesn't even have any end zones. I mean, and I don't know. I'm not liking it. It doesn't even look like a football stadium. It's awkward. It's one side's covered, the other side's open, has no relationship one side to the other. It doesn't even look unison. You know, it looks like it's a multi, maybe that's what they're trying to go for.
Symmetrical you're looking for. It doesn't look symmetrical.
I don't know. Maybe it'll feel right. I've never been into – well, I can't say I've never been. I've just never been to one of those pro stadiums where it's like that. And
Old
the Ticat Stadium is – yeah, and is looking really, really good. I mean, all right. So I'm just throwing it out there. I don't like Lansdowne.
John, if you want to check out Inside the CFL on Facebook – you can definitely see the Rough Riders' new stadium there, and it is looking sweet. I mean, they haven't turned sod yet, but
we all know.
It's
going to look hot. I think a Riders' stadium and the Winnipeg stadium are going to be – I'm still loving the Winnipeg stadium. I mean, BC is my favorite covered stadium. I mean, that stadium is gorgeous, BC, as far as the cover. But Open Stadium, Winnipeg's taking it. And then the Regina, I mean, you guys, when you get that and you get all that green in there, whoa, it's going to be the envy.
Oh, yeah.
Winnipeg
the
is
only
right now.
The only thing that I have a problem with the new Ryder Stadium or the what it is, it's too small. For the fan base that's out there, 35,000 is too small.
Yeah, that is
stadium.
Small
they
for their fan base.
They could smell.
No.
Yeah.
No, guys, you don't get it. 35,000, I mean, they have the hardcore people, okay, who attend. But, you know, it's a working class. And, for big games, you can get that. But for your average season, it's a long trek for the hardcore ones, you know. And you got a lot of people who are in Regina who just are, you know, not the kind who attend games. They're seniors and stuff. And the hardcore ones come out of town. You know, I don't know, maybe – Kelly can attest to that. But
well, you got to have a manageable number for the lean years, and you got to have you know, enough ticket demand for the, and you got to have enough ticket demand for the popular years, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the only way you're going to be able to attach $45 to a ticket
It's the Red Sox theory. The Red Sox are notorious for that. Is they don't have a large amount of attendance, but you can always raise the price on the tickets without adding any seats. Because supply and demand is the ruler.
And it's amazing. you know,
you can get a ticket to a Riders game for $45.
You can now in Taylor Field, yeah, for sure.
I can't get to the Lions game for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's the Lions. They don't want to fill the stadium. It's like the Argos. They don't want to fill the stadium.
I don't know. I think the stadium in Regina is going to be too small.
Well, you know, the new school of thought is supply and demand. I agree with Kelly because, you know, John and I talked about this before, and if I play the sound from before, it's the same story, and I talked about the Red Sox as well. The Argos, the same thing. I think, guys, and this is just me talking here, not because I'm an Argo fan, but I believe that the second-best stadium in the CFL is going to be where the Argos play next. Laugh now. We'll see. We'll see in a couple years.
You know what? And Frank, I'm gonna tell you, I'm agree with you because if you build a beautiful stadium and the tickets be halfway decent, you're gonna pull some fans in because they're gonna want to see what the stadium looks like, and especially if we also have a winning team.
Mike, the difference between putting the fans in is just give them the dates that they can come out to the game on. All right. If we're never going to get Tuesday and Thursday games ever again, I guarantee you're going to have at least 10,000 people coming in on a Saturday afternoon.
Mike's theory helps too,
we haven't
John.
Had a Saturday afternoon game in ages. And when you have Saturday afternoon games, you got good turnouts. That's all I'm going to say. To any event,
John,
the Leaf game, the Raptor game, you're going to have a sellout.
And John, a stadium that's football friendly. And the next stadium the Argos have, it may be with a football team, a soccer team, but the stadium is going to be manageable and adjustable so that it is more of a football stadium. And this is what I'm going to put out there, guys, and this is something I'm just asking for a little bit of respect for Toronto. If and when, you know, that dome that many people berate, when it was built, it was an amazing accomplishment. Unfortunately, it was built just before all these wonderful baseball stadiums that were baseball-only stadiums. You know, it was the last of the multifunction stadiums. What they're going to move into next, they're going to move into a stadium that is going to be semi-multifunctional. By that I mean there will be a football configuration, a direct and an accurate and complete football configuration. There'll be a complete soccer configuration that protects the fans from the elements, as John will tell you. And that is the Winnipeg approach. And both John and I love the Winnipeg Stadium, probably better, if you don't count BC, it's one of my favorite stadiums to look at, to say that looks awesome. Like, that looks like a football stadium to me.
And yeah, you almost forgot to say that it's going to be completely red. That's the other part you forgot to mention.
What do you mean?
You're
going to
have a team.
Red?
Yeah, BMO Field's got all red seats. So you're going to have a team that with blue playing in a red stadium.
Manesse.
That's still going to look bad.
Manesse, they're going to reconstruct the stadium. They're not going to leave the same seats in there. They're changing the seat sizes. They're putting in digital connections to the wiring. It's going to be all. What do you think they're going to leave it like the pansy state it's in right now? Give me a break.
No,
they're not going
to. They're still going to keep it red because the soccer team is going to matter more to them than the Argos. I guarantee.
What color do you think they're going to choose? Let me finish.
Yeah.
From what I saw, before you continue insulting it, before what I saw, they're going to have this thing where the seats change colors to anything you want. They're going to have designs and even have, like, electronical, backgrounds that you can put in rather than people having to hold up cheap cards to make a distant image. So hold on to your insults.
I hope. I hope so, but that's going to cost a lot of money just for that.
I hope so.
But
yeah, well,
I
hope you stop insulting before it does come out, man.
Okay, we're down to the program. Thank you.
Man,
okay,
please.
Guys, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, to Blog Talk Radio. My name's Frank Stanishi. This has been Candid Frank Live, and it included our new co-host, Talking Head, Kelly Bale, and as usual, Christopher Jones, Manasseh Gebhardine, and, of course, John Granger and, let's see, Mike Townsend.
Mike Townsend.
Did I miss anybody? No, I didn't miss anybody.
Nope.
Got y'all. Guys, thanks a lot. Say goodbye to the folks.
Bye, folks.
Good night, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
It's all good. Love you, Mike. Good night. Melody say. See you later. Kelly, too. Chris.
Here.
See ya.
All right.
All good.
This
bye-bye.
Has been Candid Frank Live. Thanks for tuning in.
Good night, Mary
We're
Ellen.
Here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lacrosse on Wednesday. Monday and Friday, CFL football. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day, everyone.
Don't forget Bruce John on Facebook.
Yeah, Bruce John Inch on Facebook. Stevie Myers. And Debbie Ann Wamsbecker, who couldn't figure out how to make the show work, and she finally did. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great one.
You too.